Welcome to another edition of Eusebius on Times Live. While there's never a dull moment in South African politics, and the last week or three has been business as usual. I wish I could say business unusual, but you blink and there is not just a new prime minister in the UK, but also a new mayor in Johannesburg, or maybe a new mayor in Ekurhuleni, or maybe the same one. And one of my colleagues, who's incidentally also my boss, Makuru, has written a really interesting article as an editorial for Times Live. He is the editor of Times Live, as well as the deputy editor of the Sunday Times. And I thought that he made a couple of really incisive points around the nature of politics in our metros and what that says about the state overall of political parties and leadership. And I wanted us to puzzle through that. So my guest this week is Makuru Sefara. Makuru, thanks so much for agreeing to come on.
Thank you. Thank you, Eusebius. Thank you for having me.
You're listening to Eusebius on Times Live. That's this latest podcast on Times Live. And it's me, Eusebius McKaiser, exploring the major issues of the week. That means you're going to hear a lot of law, politics and ethics, how they intersect and how important these stories are in the life of all South Africans.
When people saw
their children must know this are sellout.
They put saliva on the paper.
Mr. Julius Malema whispered and said, sing it, sing it.
And then they shared that zone.
No, I'm not going to apologize.
Can I have my iPad, please? So they stole it.
You know what I loved about your editorial, and this is where I want us to voice the insights and then debate one or two things about it, is a very simple observation that you made. A couple of weeks ago, a person is deemed not fit enough by their councillors to be mayor. 2 weeks on, suddenly they are fit enough. I mean, that's just, it's bizarre, but it's so, it's no longer unusual to have such weird things happen in South African politics that we hardly pause over that fact.
So essentially the point was that the council, or how it's constituted, had not changed. It's the same councillors who sat on a particular day and said that the mayor that we have had for about 9 months, you know, they had no confidence in, and so she's voted out. And you fast forward 2 weeks later, the same councillors meet, and then they say, well, we need a new mayor, and the new mayor is the old mayor. and so you say, so what happened? What changed? And if you're looking at mayors as or councillors as people who are deciding on mayors on the basis of what they are able to deliver, what their programs are, and how their stay in office is going to impact ordinary people or the voters in the particular municipality, what would have changed between when they were capable, when the councillors had confidence in this mayor, and two weeks later, when they voted differently. So
the one conclusion you reach that I want you to speak through is that whatever is going on in that particular metro, it clearly has nothing to do with evaluating the technical capability of the mayor.
Yes. So essentially the point we make in the editorial is that she, Tanya Campbell, is an accidental mayor. So there's a situation about how she was first elected, which we'll skip and come to how she remains an accidental mayor. So essentially the ANC and the EFF went into discussions about who should become the mayor of Ekurhuleni and Johannesburg, and the speculation about how that two could have, you know, spread to other parts of Gauteng or, you know, Tshwane specifically. And so the councillors in Ekurhuleni met a week after passing a motion of no confidence in the mayor. And at that session, they were supposed to elect, but did not. And the political speculation was that, no, it's because they've, the EFF and the ANC had not reached a decision as to, you know, how they split power between themselves. And a week later, or another week later, they had not reached agreement. And so what they then, you know, decided to do was that the EFF decided to vote with the DA, which then gave Tania Campbell, you know, victory. But you know, the mayor herself didn't expect to win because she knew going into that election that she didn't have the numbers. So the EFF gifted the DA the municipality again.
So basically, what you say is that whether or not Tania Campbell becomes or stays on as mayor is a function of the EFF being queen makers, and they then weigh up in turn whether being pissed off with the ANC is something they feel more strongly about than their dislike of the DA. But nothing in this political analysis has to do with responsive government.
No, nothing. You must also at the same time understand the EFF's existential crisis. So they're sitting in their corner. They're looking at the DA, you know, ahead of every election, saying, look at what we're doing in the Western Cape. This is how we govern. This is what voters can expect from a DA government. And they're looking at the PA and saying, hey, listen, you know, in the Central Karoo, we are changing things, and this is how we do things.
Black kids are swimming again.
Yeah, you know, and then the ANC, of course, can say in other parts of the country, this is what we are doing. But the EFF is not running anything in the country, so all they do is speak, and you know, and people say, this is just theory, and so they go with that background, they go into these negotiations with the ANC in the hope that they will secure for the EFF an opportunity to govern a municipality.
Yeah. And so before we get on to what the sort of two more themes that I want us to drill down into, it seems to me that the DA was a beneficiary there of then both the ANC and the EFF overreaching in terms of what they were hoping to gain in their horse trading.
Yes, it's greed. It's, you know, we are entitled to lead, and that we don't think that we should give you this. And also, I mean, if you zoom into the ANC, there's a particular thing that's emerging there that also contributed to this crisis. So in the past, the ANC at the central level, like at a higher leadership level, would have helped make a determination about, okay, so this is a numbers game. It's not about delivery, as we said earlier.
Yeah.
So given the numbers, we can't, as the ANC, win Ekurhuleni on our own. And so therefore, what do? We organize compromises. So let's give the EFF this, let's take this. And those determinations can be made outside of particular municipalities. But in this case, what you have is that the EFF must negotiate with the ANC at a local level about what's happening in Ekurhuleni. And the councillors there are saying, but why must we compromise and go into the opposition benches so that our colleagues in the ANC in Johannesburg can then take over the city? And so because of the pettiness of that type of politics, the ANC finds itself in this unenviable position where they've lost Ekurhuleni, and they're asking themselves, will they be in a position to remove the mayor of Johannesburg in Popalat or not?
But the situation is now so tragicomic with material consequences for residents of Ekurhuleni and also for Johannesburg, that 2 weeks from now, you could have a working compromise between the EFF and the ANC, and Tania may well again be fired.
It's possible, yes. Right?
So that's very possible, if the ANC has some humility, in the same way in which the DA lacks humility, and often the DA's reasoning is, we are the ones with the biggest share of votes, therefore you must respect us.
Yes.
And they psychologically, the DA has never been able to accept that if you don't have 50 plus one, then you have to treat the smaller parties as your equal, as an interlocutor, even if you got more votes than them in absolute terms. And it seems to me that this fight between the EFF and the ANC in Ekurhuleni suffers from the same thing. The bigger parties in the potential coalition agreements really struggle to see the political opponents that they have to work with as genuine equals, even though they need them for the numbers.
Yes. And so you would have imagined that the ANC in Johannesburg understood that. That's why you have the council speaker coming from Congress of the People, and the ANC getting the mayor and the mayor's position, and then allocating the mayoral committee seats to other parties. You know, they're sharing. But it, like, they did this in Johannesburg. In Ekurhuleni, when these guys are looking at this thing, the viewers know, but we seem to be compromising a lot, and they don't understand that in this situation, and exactly what you just explained, you need the people who are bringing the smaller numbers, because without those numbers, you don't get to the other side of 50 plus. And so therefore, you can't make any determinations about who sits in what position, and you know, how do you advance?
There are two implications I want to tease out. And again, your editorial was fantastic, because these are spectacularly simple and yet really fundamental and depressing consequences, right, that we need to tease out. The first is that the experiment after the last local government election with coalitions around the country suggest that South African political parties, whether it's the incumbent ANC government or the main opposition parties or the nascent smaller parties, they don't care about you and me. And it's, so, you know, it's not more complicated than that. But that surely represents a fundamental crisis in our politics.
So we had local government elections, and the parties went out and said, dear voter, come out in your numbers, vote for us, because, you know, we are this amazing parties. We're going to do these great things for you. Right now, what you have is that there's small blocks that are controlling what happens in these municipalities. And so, because there isn't an outright winner, no one is paying attention to the robots that are malfunctioning, and why these robots must malfunction so much after the rains, and you know, how to resolve that. No one is paying attention to
the
waste
potholes
that must be picked, potholes that must be attended to, you know, the basic things that, that we as residents in these municipalities need the municipalities to attend to. All they're doing is, you know, so how many seats do you bring? So how many more seats do we need in order for us to successfully pass a motion of no confidence in this man? So they don't need a substantive reason about why this mayor must be removed. So the point you made earlier is quite apt. You know, so we can wake up next week with the ANC in Ekurhuleni saying, we want to sponsor another motion of no confidence in the mayor that we removed 3 weeks ago, and still succeed. And then hope that and have them hope that by the time the council is reconvened, whatever agreement they have with whoever who's giving them the numbers will help them to change the mayor. So as a resident somewhere in Gauteng, you must really play catch up. So Who is the mayor in Ekurhuleni? Have they been removed? Yes, they were removed, but they, you know, they're back in office. And in Joburg, you had Mpopalatsi, and then you had the ANC's Dada Morero, and then you had Mpopalatsi again. Do we now have Mpopalatsi, or is it Dada? Is Dada coming back in 2 weeks or in 3 weeks? You know, and in Tswane, there's a motion of no confidence in the background. You know, if the ANC and the EFF find each other,
that could be next.
It's a lot.
That could be next.
But you know, the critical thing is we're not talking about the things that this political parties were elected
yes,
to resolve.
Yes, I mean, the previous episode of this podcast, I was speaking to Lukona Nguni, and the Rivonia Circle with Ipsos had really robust data-driven poll, which they married with some qualitative data. And they found that we had a majority of people that were polled who are registered voters by a huge margin being fundamentally unhappy with the direction of the country. And they cite the issues that matter to them, unemployment being right at the top, followed by corruption and then blackouts and a couple of other issues thrown into the mix.
Yes.
But interestingly enough, what came out of the same conversations is that the narrative of anything but the ANC is not sufficient for you and I to have faith in the opposition parties. What are your reflections on the tactical misstepping of the opposition parties? Because given the ANC's record at local government, one would have thought that it's a gift to be able to put the ANC on trial as part of your election story. And yet the opposition parties seem to be just as ridiculous as the ANC.
Yeah, I you know, particular points, I think I worry whether or not opposition parties, in fact, do want to govern our country or do want to position themselves as people who are capable. I feel initially I thought maybe they are unaware that they are self-sabotaging, but after writing so many things and after, I mean, the information is out there publicly about how they are not serving their own cause. Mm-hmm. I mean, the DA's own issues around diversity management, race relations in the country, they shoot themselves in the foot repeatedly. Mm-hmm. The evidence is public. You know, the EFF too is not positioning itself as, you know, we are this party that's going to do amazing things and look at how we are doing certain. So it's almost like, you know, we know you're pissed off with the ANC, and so you have no option but to vote for us.
And they feel entitled.
Regardless of how we position ourselves as opposition parties. So in the end, it positions the voter as somebody who must have, you know, unending headaches about, you know, there isn't anyone worthy of my vote.
Yes.
You know, and it's such a great shame.
You and I have been in media for a long time and political animals for a long time, Makuru. One of my first columns was with you as my editor at The Star. Having seen this for such a long time, where does it leave us overall? With an intractable set of political cultural issues in our country? Or do you think that we may yet have I don't know who will do that, but we may yet have a political organization that does not repeat the ANC. I mean, Lukona put it so interesting to me that even if you look at a new entrant like Action SA, the way they go about their politics, setting up branches, they literally take the template of the ANC and reproduce it instead of trying to be completely rethinking how to engage you and I as voters. And it made me wonder, what is the overall conclusion? Are we completely rigid? Or is there a possibility of politics anew?
I don't know. I don't have much hope that we are going to get something that starts us off on a fresh slate. I think that there's issues about where power is and how, because of, you know, its movement and mutations that people are going to replicate what's happening in the ANC, like the cultures that you see in the ANC. Should things change, should assume the DA becomes the government of the day You know, people are going to join the DA not because they believe in the policies of the DA, but because they want to position themselves within the DA in a way that will allow them to access government tenders, you know, or certain positions that allow them to get certain things. And the corrupt culture that is within the ANC is going to move to the DA, or, you know, whether you, you know, whether it's the DA or another party, you know, that's going to happen. That's why you're seeing Action SA battling to keep people in certain positions, and then, you know, they then.
And the cult of personality them. Around Herman, it's
yeah.
exactly like the yeah. EFF. It's yeah. amazing how quickly yeah. they become variations on the main three parties.
Yeah. And so as a voter, you look at them and you say, so, should there be no Herman in Action SA, would I vote for them? Should there be no Julius Malema, would I vote for them?
If there was no Helen Zille, yes, maybe I will.
You know, it's a major problem for the South African voter, which is why you have a number of people who are not voting being more than the number of people who are voting for, you know, the overall winner in any election. So if you have the ANC winning the national elections at 10 million votes, you are certain that the number of people who didn't bother to go to cast their votes are more than 10 million, which tells you that there are people who are sitting elsewhere and are looking at this democratic project and are thinking, you know, is this thing helping me, or am I just putting people into positions where they're going to access Absolutely. Power and with it patronage and with it a better life for themselves and their children? And my situation is going to remain as it was before voting. And so therefore I don't participate in this nonsense of theirs and I just sit at home. And when they do that, you know, they are not helping the process,
Absolutely.
but they're just disgruntled at the process and don't know what to do. And the political parties themselves are not positioning themselves as people who can do things differently. And it's, you know, it might lead you to want to blame the system and say democracy doesn't work for us. But the problem isn't the system. The problem isn't democracy.
I agree.
The problem is the people that we have
yeah.
in our democracy
yeah.
who are playing in the system, not yeah. the system itself.
I totally agree with Makuru. It's the same reason why, on a personal level, I think that we fetishize the idea of electoral reform as, to throw in some pretentious Latin, the sine qua non for excellence in government. If only we have constituency-based models, then somehow we're going to get excellence in terms of governance and service delivery. But if you don't have the right people, it doesn't matter whether you have a first-past-the-post system, proportional rep, a mixture of the two, what Frederick van Zijlslaber said or didn't say, the quality of people is really the problem in our politics. Do you agree with our skepticism? Let us know. You can tag me on Twitter, Facebook. You can get into my DMs. Do you share our analyses, or do you think that we are fundamentally wrong and things are better than the commentariat are suggesting? Do let us know. Makuru, thanks so much. That was great fun.
Thank you.
Went very quickly. We should have you on more often.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Cheers.